This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Wisconsin is one of only two states that do not allow the sale of homemade cookies, breads, and other baked goods. But that could be changing after a Lafayette County judge ruled against the ban last month. While the State Department of Justice is likely to appeal that decision, the Wisconsin Senate has already approved a bill to allow home bakers to sell their products, and members of the Assembly have proposed doing away with regulations for all bakeries. Joining us to talk about the changing regulations around cottage foods are Republican Senator Sheila Harsdorf, Della Enns, a Wisconsin farmer and plaintiff in the lawsuit against the state's ban on home-baked products, and Erica Smith, an attorney for the Institute for Justice, representing Enns and the other plaintiffs. Thank you all so much for joining us. And, you know, obviously, as I mentioned, this all could be changing. There's a lot of things happening. But I wonder, Senator Harsdorf, if you could talk about, you know, why Wisconsin is one of only two states that have these laws on the books that don't allow the sale of homemade baked goods.
Well, this is legislation that we have introduced in previous sessions and has had strong support. But obviously, it's about getting the votes within the legislature and you know, these are issues that when they're brought before us, then various legislators will work to try and address it. But clearly, as you mentioned, you know, when you look at our adjacent states, Wisconsin is out of sync with how we limit these small businesses. And I think this is really about allowing entrepreneurs and people to get their feet on the ground and start a new business. Because obviously this is about needing to have a commercial kitchen, which can be very costly and in some cases very difficult for someone to have access to.
Yeah, Erica, I know that you have done some work on different cottage food law issues, and I wonder if you can talk about kind of, you know, how things have been changing over the last few years when it comes to cottage food.
Well, I think a lot of states have come to the recognition that cottage foods are safe and people want to be able to buy them. And that's what the law is in almost every other state besides Wisconsin and New Jersey. In every other state, people can sell homemade goods out of their home without having to get pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have a commercial-grade kitchen. They could just bake them in their home kitchen. And that makes sense. As the judge said in our victory last month, there is no health or safety reason to require home bakers to spend tens of thousands of dollars on a commercial-grade kitchen just to sell cookies and muffins.
Della, you are someone who, you know, has someone who could really benefit from cottage food law in kind of creating a space for the selling of homemade products. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, why you've taken such a, you know, I guess an interest in such a proactive approach to this in filing the lawsuit and being an advocate for previous cookie bills.
Well, we certainly appreciate all of Senator Harsdorf's work, and we've supported her all along in her efforts to get the cookie bill passed. It's just frustrating. It's taken so long. And my community, there's a lot of people suffering economically. It's been difficult. We have a small organic farm. We raise vegetables. I also use the pickle bill for canning. And I make homemade soap. So I know how important those extra income streams are to help our farm survive. And I know that others can benefit from the same thing. Baked goods would be wonderful for us because we like to grow grains and we could mill our flour and bake breads from our own grain and provide a product that's very special and our CSA members would really enjoy. So that would be another income stream that would be helpful to our farm. And I see this as an opportunity for many people and I want them to have it.
Della, you mentioned the pickle bill, and I wonder, Senator Harsdorf, if you can kind of explain what that is and how that maybe kind of started this conversation around, you know, looking at the sale of homemade baked goods.
The pickle bill was, yes, that is where we allow home canners to sell up to $5,000 worth of home canned goods. And under our bill draft dealing with home bakers, we're actually proposing to increase that limit on those canned goods as well. But again, it's looking at what is, you know, something that is there's a market for it, and it's safe, and it basically allows people to provide what their local customers are calling for, and yet allowing them to get their feet off the ground in their small business.
Della, can you talk a little bit about, you know, how passing the pickle bill several years ago kind of inspired you and other people interested in home baking to start advocating for the cookie bill?
Well, we could see by what we were accomplishing with the pickle bill that it would be even more beneficial to have something for baked goods. So many people like to bake and make wonderful things. With the pickle bill, the specialty kinds of items that could be made. I have a friend who is really good at canned goods, and she can make things that you can't buy in the grocery store. And they taste really good. And for me, it also helps us use produce that might go to waste otherwise. So it's been very helpful in many ways, and baking is even better.
Della, you talked about how this, you know, the cookie bill and expanding cottage food law could really help you and other, you know, farmers like yourself kind of add to their business. And, you know, Senator Harsdorf, I wonder if you could talk more about the piece that you mentioned earlier about helping entrepreneurs, maybe people who want to start their own baking business.
Absolutely. When we had the hearing on the bill 2 years ago, in last session, I recall a young fellow coming in, and I think he may have been in FFA, and you know, he said, you know, he's interested in starting a business, but the cost or the access to a commercial kitchen was a hurdle that he just simply could not overcome. And so this is about encouraging people to think about starting a business without creating those hurdles that make it impossible for them to even start. And so, and you know, when you look at our neighboring states, you know, for example, I think Iowa has no limit at all. Minnesota has an $18,000 limit. Michigan, $20,000. Illinois, $25,000. You know, these are states that, you know, they're allowing these entrepreneurs and these small businesses to sell these products that are very in demand, and without any safety risk, without any issue as far as public safety. And so it really is all about encouraging people, whether you're 18 or whether you're 30 or 50 or whatever, encouraging them, not putting up those roadblocks that make it impossible for them to get into these kinds of markets and selling these kinds of goods.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about legislative and legal changes to Wisconsin's ban on the sale of homemade baked goods. We're here with Senator Sheila Harsdorf from River Falls, Della Enns, farmer from Broadhead and plaintiff of a recent lawsuit against the state's ban, and Erica Smith, an attorney from the Institute for Justice representing Enns and the other plaintiffs. And we've mentioned several of Wisconsin neighbors and their kind of stances on cottage food law at this moment. And Minnesota definitely comes to mind because they've experienced some similar issues with changing their cottage food laws. And Erica, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about kind of what happened in Minnesota and how some of these changes took place.
Sure. So we actually sued in Minnesota as well. What happened there was Minnesota had just a $5,000 cap on selling home baked goods and a $5,000 cap on selling canned goods. And they also had a restriction that people could only sell at farmers markets and other community events. And those restrictions were completely arbitrary. There were no facts or evidence to support them. And it was just another example of a law being in place to protect commercial bakers and commercial canners from competition, which is exactly what happened in Wisconsin as well. So we sued, and shortly after, the legislature amended their laws to raise the cap to $18,000 and to allow all direct sales to consumers, which was the right result. Those restrictions are much more reasonable.
And so what do you think the current climate is like in Minnesota for cottage food operations?
Everything I've heard shows that it's thriving. There are hundreds and maybe even thousands of people who have signed up and registered to be part of these new programs, and they're able to now make money for themselves and for their families, and consumers are happy because they now have more choices and they have a greater ability to buy local and buy from their community and friends and neighbors. So it's working wonderfully.
Erica, what do you think Wisconsin can learn from Minnesota?
Well, I think Wisconsin, it's really a lesson that Wisconsin should have learned a long time ago, and that's that there is really no benefit to having these unreasonable and protectionist restrictions. As the judge found last month in his ruling, the only effect that these laws have, that banning the sale of home baked goods has, is to protect commercial bakers from competition. And in fact, all the evidence shows that that's the entire reason that this ban was still in place, is because the Wisconsin Bakers Association and the Grocers Association lobbied very hard to keep it that way because they didn't want to have to compete with homemakers and farmers and stay-at-home moms. It doesn't make any sense. So Wisconsin should, I think, just immediately pass a cookie bill to solidify that everybody can sell home baked goods now.
And Senator Harsdorf, what do you think Wisconsin can learn from Minnesota and everything that took place there?
Well, I think clearly you have seen an effort in Wisconsin where we are trying to make this change. As you indicated, I believe, earlier, the state Senate recently passed the legislation that we've introduced, and so now we are working to continue to build support in the state assembly.
Yeah, you mentioned the Senate has, you know, passed this bill, and actually the Senate has passed two previous versions of this bill as well, in 2013 and 15, I believe. And, you know, Senator Harsdorf, you've been kind of working on this issue for several years. And I wonder if you can provide some insight into, you know, why this issue hasn't maybe gained more traction in the assembly.
Well, obviously, it's about building votes and getting the support of leadership as well. There has, as Erica mentioned, there is an opposition from a number of organizations, including the Restaurant Association and the grocers, and as well as bakers who have called their legislators. And so it really does help that home bakers make sure that they reach out to their legislator and convey their support and why this legislation is important. You know, we've built into the legislation, we've tried to address issues that regarding safety and food safety, public safety. And so those are things, if there are legitimate concerns, you know, we welcome the opportunity to address it. But, you know, as was mentioned, this should not be about protecting. This is about enabling small businesses to get their feet on the ground. And, you know, and it's something that adds to consumers' choice, and it's something that there's a market for. And so we have built in assurances of requiring face-to-face sales because we want to make sure that people know who they're buying from. And so we'll continue to push for this and trying to build support. But I think it's also very, very important that people like Della across the state continue to contact their legislator and encourage them and encourage them to support it and explain why it's important for Wisconsin to take this step forward.
Della, as someone who, you know, as someone who supports cottage food and could really benefit from this law, I wonder if you could talk about your feelings as you've seen, you know, the cookie bill not, I guess, have as much traction as the legislature as you would maybe hope.
It's been very frustrating, and it's taken a long time. We see other bills just slam through the legislature, and this to take so many years, and Senator Harsdorf's worked hard on it, and we appreciate that, but it's not gotten anywhere. And that's very, very frustrating for those of us who want to benefit from it.
And so, obviously, you guys pursued a lawsuit, as has been mentioned, and got a ruling on that last month. The judge ruled against the state's ban and calling it unconstitutional and not meant to protect public health. You know, Erica, I wonder if you could give some insight of what does this ruling mean? Does this mean that anyone can just go sell baked goods now, or kind of where are we at?
Well, that's how we are interpreting the ruling, but the state disagrees, and the state believes that the ruling just applies to the three plaintiffs in this case. So that's currently being resolved by the court right now. It has yet to be decided. But we are going to make sure that we do not stop fighting until it is clear that everybody in Wisconsin can start baking.
Can you give some more details into what you mean about the state's interpretation of the ruling?
Well, the state believes that because there are only three home bakers in the lawsuit, that the court only has the power to grant a declaration as to those three plaintiffs. All the legal support is against them on this. The courts have been very clear that judges have the power to issue relief, not just to plaintiffs, but anyone else in the same circumstances. And we filed a motion with the court to clarify this issue, and we are currently awaiting a ruling.
What does this mean for the timeline of this this lawsuit? I know that there was the potential that the Department of Justice may appeal the decision, and I wonder if this kind of pushes a final decision out.
Well, the state has not yet decided whether it's going to appeal the case. At least they haven't publicly stated whether they intend to appeal or not. But we will know in the next couple of months whether they will appeal.
And, you know, Senator Harsdorf, I wonder if this lawsuit and everything that's been going on, how that maybe impacts your work.
Well, obviously, I appreciate those who have brought the lawsuit, but I, too, am anxious to hear, because when I hear that the interpretation is that it would only affect these three individuals, that simply does not seem to make a whole lot of sense to have them operating under a different set of laws than others. And so, you know, I would hope, I look forward to the court clarifying that, and I would think that this litigation would, that this lawsuit ruling would be applicable to anyone in Wisconsin. But I think, you know, obviously we don't want the courts to write the laws. That's what the legislature is there for. So I am hoping that this will help encourage support and action in the state assembly for what is the right thing to do. And I think you mentioned earlier that there has been other legislation introduced that would go a very different direction in the state assembly. Well, it has not yet been introduced. It's not yet been introduced, but there is legislation that has been drafted.
I definitely want to talk about the bill that you're referring to, Senator, later in the show. But I wonder if first you can talk a little bit about how this year's cookie bill that was recently passed by the Senate maybe looks different from previous iterations.
We actually have put in place, I believe we had required door-to-door, face-to-face sales before. We also, as the bill went through committee in the state Senate, it was amended. The original bill was would have allowed $7,500 of gross sales, and that was obviously considerably less than our neighboring states. But we actually did that in hopes that we could build support and get something in place. But as we held the public hearing in the state Senate on the legislation, there was strong support for increasing that $7,500 in gross sales to $25,000. So the bill was amended in the committee, and the $25,000 annual gross sales limit was passed in the state Senate. So that is different than the legislation has been in the past.
Yeah, and Della, I wonder what your thoughts are on the new limit, just because I know that, you know, previously the fact that the limit was so low at $7,500, you know, that was kind of a sticking point for you.
Yes, it was. And this is so much better, because if you want to help somebody really get a leg up, you need to help them make enough money they can save some money. And at $7,500 gross, you know, you have a lot of expenses involved there too, so you really aren't going to be able to save very much if you do want to move forward and build a commercial kitchen.
And Senator Harsdorf, I wonder if you could talk more about, you know, the places that people can sell their items. If you know, what does that mean for online sales? What does this mean for farmers markets, things like that?
The legislation would restrict and require and be applicable only to face-to-face sales. And so it would restrict, it would not allow for online sales. It would not allow for door-to-door sales. It would require face-to-face and such things as farmers markets, community events, and other places where you are out with the public.
Della, I wonder from your perspective if, I don't know, if a lot of these sales maybe are already happening of people maybe who aren't aware that there is a law against the sale of you know, cookies in their, you know, at a bake sale or things like that. I wonder if there are people you think that maybe aren't aware that this is against the law currently.
Well, there are certainly people who aren't aware of these laws, but bake sales are allowed. And so that's one of the inconsistencies. It doesn't make sense.
Do you think, can you talk more about what other inconsistencies, you know, that have really, I guess, trouble you?
Well, certainly my other two friends in the lawsuit, they have bed and breakfasts, and they can make muffins and serve them to their customers who come for breakfast or bread or whatever, but they can't sell it to them. So that seems pretty strange.
Yeah. I wonder if you could talk about, I don't know, just how to you and maybe to other people who, you know, are so closely tied to food production, how, you know, this law maybe just makes sense and maybe seems like a silly issue to you.
The cookie bill making sense?
Well, yeah, just the idea that not being allowed to sell things made in your home kitchen, you know, is you know, why that is still, you know, not allowed.
I have no idea why it's not allowed. It doesn't make good sense. You know, families bake for the ones they love. I'm a grandma. I bake cookies for my grandchildren, and it doesn't make any sense. We've baked treats for kids in school all our lives. We've had bake sales for fundraisers for 4-H and all the different things we're involved in, and that's legal. But if I want to go to the farmer's market and sell something I've baked, it's not legal. So it is inconsistent. It doesn't make good sense. And we are in no way a threat to big business. We do specialty products, wonderful products, and things people want. So I like doing that.
Della Enns, a farmer from Broadhead who recently won a lawsuit challenging the state's cottage food laws, is here with us today to talk about legislative and legal changes to the state's cottage food law. She's joined by Senator Sheila Harsdorf from River Falls and Erica Smith, an attorney for the Institute for Justice, who represented Enns and other plaintiffs. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on cottage food law in Wisconsin. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the state of cottage food law in Wisconsin. A Lafayette County judge recently ruled the state's ban on the sale of homemade cookies, breads, and other products was unconstitutional. And the state legislature is considering its own changes to cottage food laws, with the Senate passing the latest cookie bill and assembly leaders proposing the removal of regulations for all bakeries. Joining us to talk about what all of these changes mean for home bakers in Wisconsin are Republican Senator Sheila Harsdorf, Della Enns, a Wisconsin farmer and plaintiff in the lawsuit against the state's ban on home baked goods, and Erica Smith, an attorney for the Institute for Justice representing Enns and other plaintiffs. And in the first half of the show, we were talking about this year's version of the cookie bill, a piece of legislation that would expand cottage food laws in the state that's been introduced in previous sessions. You know, and Senator Harsdorf, you were talking about kind of what's different with the bill this year. And I wonder if you're hopeful, your colleagues in the assembly will treat the bill differently this year, too.
Well, obviously, we know that there is some support in the assembly, and it's just a matter of making sure that leadership is on board and that we can move it through, getting it to the floor.
And you mentioned leadership, I want to talk a little bit about a bill that Speaker Robin Voss has proposed. He's not introduced it yet, but he's proposed his own legislation that would remove all regulations for all bakers in the state, no matter if they're a cottage food operation in a home or a commercial operation. And, Senator, I wonder what your thoughts are on this bill.
Well, obviously, I have not seen the actual draft, and I'm aware that he has drafted such a bill, but I've not seen the actual language. I think it's somewhat it's interesting. I'm not sure if he will introduce it and if there will be votes to pass it in the state assembly. But one of the concerns that we've tried to address that has been raised by some is just the public safety. And so while we believe that our bill is drafted not only to deal with those non-hazardous goods that where there is no risk of getting sick, because they are, they do not support growth of toxins or other organisms. But to take all regulations off, I guess for those who have raised concerns about the safety of our bill, I guess I welcome hearing from them as far as how they feel this bill, the proposed draft, would deal with public safety. So I think it's something that I'm hoping at the end of the day we can come together and clarify this for home bakers and allow them to have these minimal sales in order to grow their small business and for others to start their own business.
Della, as someone who's advocated for expanding cottage food, cottage food laws, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue that Speaker Voss has proposed of doing away with all regulations for all bakeries.
Well, it seems a little odd, but just let them carry it forward, see what happens.
Do you think that I don't know? Do you think that it stands a chance?
Probably not.
I wonder if you can talk about, Della, why you feel cottage food operations are different from commercial bakeries. Why should there be different regulations around them than a commercial kitchen?
Well, there's only so much any of us could do in our home kitchen. We can't, it's not an assembly line. It's not a big space to work in. So we're limited in what we can produce in our own kitchens. And when you're starting out at something, you might have a great idea that you think is going to be a product that's really going to sell well. And when you take it out there, maybe not. Or maybe something else that you didn't think of will happen and be successful. So a little space to learn, I think, is very important. And without a huge investment into a commercial kitchen. And in face-to-face sales, it's very transparent. The consumer knows exactly where it came from. That's not true for a commercial facility that can put it in a store. Then that's gone. The face-to-face is very important.
Erica, from a legal perspective, you know, why should there be a difference between cottage food operations in a home kitchen and commercial bakeries?
Well, I think Della said it exactly right. People in a home kitchen are inherently limited by how much they can make, and when they're selling to people, we're only contemplating face-to-face sales and interactions, and that's totally different than people selling millions of cookies out of a factory.
And, you know, Senator Harsdorf, earlier, you know, you mentioned just the people who have been opposed to the cookie bill in the past because of public health issue, you know, health concerns. And, you know, I have heard from the Wisconsin Bakers Association who were actually in support of Speaker Voss's idea of doing away with all regulations. And their position was, you know, well, if it's safe to do in a home kitchen, it must be safe for us to do as well without regulation. And they kind of took the cue of that, you know, it's not about their reasoning was it's not about the scale, it's about the product. I wonder what your thoughts are on this take.
Well, as Dell and Erica have both said, it really is, I think, really misrepresenting what we're trying to get at. And when you have a commercial bakery that is selling across through retail stores, we really are focused on someone we're requiring face-to-face sales. And that is a very, very different circumstance than a commercial baker who is providing product throughout Wisconsin and beyond. And, you know, we want to make sure people know who they're buying from, and we're talking about sales where you know who you're buying from. We're requiring labeling on the product so that people know. You know, it is identified that it is in a private home. Not everyone is going to be comfortable with that, and that's their choice. That's totally up to the consumer. But I think to look at a draft of taking all restrictions off, I think it's kind of like the nuclear option. And it really, I think, misleads people into understanding what we're really trying to get at. Minimal sales, face-to-face sales, people know who they're buying from, they're comfortable with it, and it's just a very different market than what they would affect under this proposed draft.
Della, do you, I don't know, agree with this idea that people who buy from cottage food operations, you know that they know kind of what they're getting into, you know what they're buying?
Absolutely. What we offer is very different, for sure. It's not a Twinkie. And I appeal to a certain type of customer with what I do. I like organic products, and that's not what the general public buys, and I'm happy with my particular niche.
Do you think that cottage food law allowing people to bake out of their home kitchen, you know, up to a certain amount, do you think that gives them an advantage over brick and mortar bakeries, you know, more maybe traditional business models?
No, I think it's something different. And it is what certain customers are asking for, and we would love to be able to provide it. There are things in the bakery I would never buy, and I know other people like me, but they would like what I make.
That's Della Enns, a farmer from Broadhead, Wisconsin, who recently won a lawsuit challenging the state's cottage food laws. She's here with us today to talk about the latest cookie bill and the impacts of a recent court ruling against the state's ban on the sale of home-baked foods. Also joining us is Erica Smith, an attorney for the Institute for Justice who represented Enns and other plaintiffs, and Senator Sheila Harsdorf from River Falls. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Erica, I wonder what your thoughts are on the worry from some opponents of cottage food law that it gives home bakers an advantage over traditional bakeries.
I don't think that there's any advantage. You're just talking about a totally different business model. I mean, it's like saying that somebody would have an advantage if they're with any home business as opposed to a brick-and-mortar business. I mean, with the new economy that America is seeing, people are operating out of their homes every day in a whole variety of different fashions.
Yeah, how does this, how is this maybe an issue of helping people start their own brick-and-mortar businesses?
We absolutely see that happen all the time. For instance, one of the issues that we deal with at the Institute for Justice is food truck regulations. And a lot of people oppose food trucks because they think they're unfairly competing with restaurants. But to the contrary, not only is there no indication that food trucks hurt restaurants, but a lot of times food trucks will transform into restaurants, which is just further expanding the economy and creating more and more opportunities for people and more jobs. And there's no reason to think that home baking would be any different.
Do you think this issue and maybe the prevalence of cottage food law, people paying more attention to it, represents a change in maybe how people want to purchase food, how people want to consume food?
Oh, I think that's definitely true. People want to buy food that's not processed, that's local, that's made in a way that they understand, as opposed to having, you know, 50 different ingredients and preservatives. People want to just buy simple things from their friends and neighbors and community, and that's exactly what the cookie bill would allow.
Senator Harsdorf, why is it important for Wisconsin to be jumping on this kind of, you know, buying local train, this you know, movement of people wanting to support local businesses in the way they buy food?
Well, as someone who I'm a former dairy farmer, and I'm strong belief in small businesses and the ability to start a business. And I think when you look at not only the importance of providing job opportunities and startup businesses in our state, this is an important component. But you add that to what the consumer is demanding, and it's important to provide the consumer with a choice of what kind of products that they want. You know, there's a lot of people who don't want to buy things from a commercial bakery, but you know, it is about giving choices. There are those products there for those who want to purchase them, but there's also a growing demand for buying things off the farm that are homemade, whether it's an organic farm or others. There's a growing demand for that, and we're seeing that as we're seeing farmers markets growing and increasing demand.
You know, earlier we were talking about how opponents of the cookie bill have really, you know, have opposed it because they felt like it was a public health issue, maybe. And I wonder if you can, you know, talk about, do you think cottage food operations need to be receiving, you know, need to be receiving training on food safety and that sort of thing? And if that's part of your legislation?
Well, in addition to requiring face-to-face sales, we also have a number of other provisions included in the bill that would try and encourage increase the comfort level. The seller would need to be make it clear that the goods were made in a private home and not subject to state licensing or inspection. The product would also have to have a number of things on their label, including the name of the business, the address of the person who prepared the food. Something about, a list of ingredients would also need to be included. And so, you know, we've included those things so that the consumer has the information that they have. And then it also would require that the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer make sure that there's food safety information available. They would encourage training and making the recipes available as well for review by the department.
And Della, you know, I wonder if you can talk about, as a home baker, you know, do these, you know, why maybe these sorts of requirements sound a lot more achievable than the current requirements for people who want to sell their products, sell their baked goods?
Well, this is something we can easily do. It's part of transparency. It's what we do with the pickle bill. It's exactly the same. So people want to know if they have an allergy, what's in something. That's required on all baked goods. I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
Yeah, and under current law, people who want to sell their baked goods, they have to do that out of a commercial kitchen. Can you talk about why that maybe isn't feasible for some people?
Well, it's expensive. And I know of people who've invested in a commercial kitchen and then had to close it down. They moved or, you know, whatever things happen and change in your life. And it's a big investment. I wouldn't want to do it unless I knew I had products that were going to sell. And then I might be more than happy to take that step. But I also would need to raise some money to pay for it.
Yeah, Erica, can you talk a little bit about your thoughts on how the current, legislation really is prohibitive for people who want to start their own kind of baking operations?
Well, first, a lot of people don't even live near a commercial kitchen, and that's especially true of people in the more rural areas of Wisconsin. And for people like young mothers or other people with obligations at home, it's not plausible for them to be out of the home for, you know, 10 hours baking 30 miles away in a commercial kitchen, not to mention how expensive it is. I mean, even cheap commercial kitchens are going to run $20 to $25 an hour if you're lucky enough to live near one. So for people who just want to, you know, spend a couple hours a day or a few hours a week baking cookies and muffins to sell at the farmer's market, it's just not feasible to have a commercial kitchen.
Yeah, and Erica, you know, we've been talking about, baked goods and the different, you know, just kind of referring to it as cottage food, but I wonder if you can give more detail about, you know, what products we're talking about and why these products are safe to make out of a home kitchen.
Well, the baked goods that we're talking about for our lawsuit and the current pending cookie bill are baked goods that are what are called not potentially hazardous, and that means baked goods that don't require refrigeration, that are shelf stable. You can leave them out on the table, and while they might get stale, they're not going to get anybody sick. So that's your basic cookie and breads and cakes and muffins and that sort of thing. So all the evidence shows, and we actually have an expert witness in our case that proved this, that there is no instance of anyone anywhere ever getting sick from an improperly baked good like that. So these goods are completely safe, and there's no reason to require people to spend tens of thousands of dollars on a commercial-grade kitchen to make a perfectly safe food.
Senator Harsdorf, I know that there's been concerns in the past about people, maybe taking the looking at baked goods and kind of taking free rein and making other products, I mean, maybe don't fit under those, restrictions. I wonder if you can talk about, you know, how we make sure that people are making the correct baked goods.
Well, the department would provide information as far as what would be allowed, as well as the individual would need to register with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So the department would have a registry of those who are providing these, selling these baked goods. They would also have the individual who would be registered with the department would also have to have a written plan for recalling any goods that under any circumstances. But again, this is, you know, the legislation is really targeted as has been mentioned for non-hazardous baked goods, which are specifically defined in the bill that do not support growth of anything that would be in danger of someone's health. And so we have narrowly applied this to those non-hazardous baked goods.
That's Republican Senator Sheila Harsdorf from River Falls here with us today to talk about the latest cookie bill and the impacts of a recent court ruling against the state's ban on the sale of home baked goods. Also joining us is Della Enns, a farmer from Broadhead, Wisconsin, and a plaintiff in a lawsuit against the state's cottage food laws, and Erica Smith, an attorney for the Institute for Justice, who represented Enns and other plaintiffs in that lawsuit. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Erica, as we were talking about before, the State Department of Justice is kind of looking at possibly appealing the court decision, and there's some issues with getting a clarification on that ruling. Is this an issue that you're anticipating could stretch out and maybe go on for a while?
I don't think it's going to go on that long. I think this is a common sense issue, and the courts understand that. And the courts understand that there are a lot of people in Wisconsin who are hurting right now who really need this extra income to help support their families. So we're confident that this issue will be resolved soon and that home bakers will be able to start baking as soon as possible.
Della, as someone who wants to be a home baker under the new law, what are you really hoping will happen from regulations? Is the current cookie bill enough, or is there other things that you really hope kind of come into play with these regulations?
Well, I'm happy with the current cookie bill. It's much better than what we first were talking about, as Senator Harsdorf mentioned. But the lawsuit is so important to help entrepreneurs, not just bakers, but everybody in Wisconsin, and we won the lawsuit, and I'm proud of that, and I thank Erica Smith for all her hard work. We do need to move forward with this. The rural community where I live is hurting, and I want to see this be successful for all the home bakers in Wisconsin. This is not just for me.
You mentioned, that you feel like your community is hurting economically, and I wonder if you could talk more about, how this could really, maybe help turn things around.
Well, it definitely gives more opportunity for many people, and that's what we need. We need all the opportunities out there that we can try to help better our incomes now. It's a hard time.
Yeah, and I wonder, as someone who is kind of passionate about this issue, are there other states that you feel like are doing things right? Do you see examples of places where home bakers, have the power to do these sorts of things and help better their community?
Well, there are many places, 48 other states, and they have varying degrees of regulation. Some have not very much, and different levels of income cap, and I think they're all good. I have a friend of my daughter's in North Carolina who's a home baker, and she makes a living off of that, and I think that's pretty impressive. That's great, and I would like to see that here.
Yeah, Erica, can you think of other examples of states that are really doing cottage food the right way?
Pretty much every state except Wisconsin and New Jersey. Wisconsin is really, unfortunately, the bottom of the barrel when it comes to cottage food laws, which is so surprising because there are so many farmers and other people who could really benefit from cottage food laws in Wisconsin. But just a couple of weeks ago, Florida raised their cap on the sale of home baked goods to $50,000, which is also what the cap is in California and Texas. I mean, we have to remember that other states have been allowing the sale of home baked goods for years without any issues whatsoever. All we see is positive effects and the creation of new jobs.
Yeah, and we've talked about how Wisconsin is one of two states left. New Jersey is the other state that doesn't allow the sale of home baked goods. Erica, do you think that could also be changing as the lawsuit? You guys won the lawsuit here in Wisconsin, and we're seeing traction in the legislature. Do you think we'll see New Jersey maybe getting on the bandwagon too?
I am very optimistic about that.
You know, Senator Harsdorf, I wonder, just as this bill goes to the Assembly and your colleagues consider it, you know, what do you really hope that they keep in mind as they're looking at this piece of legislation?
Yeah, there's two things. First, providing individuals with an opportunity to start a business and to grow a small business, but also to meet consumer demand. There's growing demand for buying things that are naturally made and locally grown and locally produced and baked. And so it really is about both meeting opportunities for people to create a livelihood for their own family, but it's also about meeting the consumer's demands.
We've been talking with Republican Senator Sheila Harsdorf from River Falls. Della Enns, a farmer from Broadhead, Wisconsin, and a plaintiff in a lawsuit against the state's ban on home-baked products. And Erica Smith, an attorney for the Institute for Justice, representing Enns and other plaintiffs in that lawsuit about changing regulations around cottage food law in Wisconsin. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio and La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.